cliffcentral.com. Do you know that Switzerland has enough underground bunker space for 4.8 million people, and there are only 4.4 million people in Switzerland? So you know they've planned for the tourist season.
which brings us to Achi. I mean, I love that. Talk about a segue. What a professional. Achi, of course.
Well done, Sam.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Achi, of course, is our man at TTS, Tourist Travel Services, and of course we talk about travel.co.za. And it's always nice to catch up with you. Now, haven't you guys just done a huge big expo in London?
Yeah.
That's what you've been doing, right?
Yeah. I mean, after I've left you in Rome, how was Rome?
Listen, first of all, this guy, let me just point out that this Achi was in Athens with us. Then he was on the ship with us. Then we were suddenly in Rome. And then he was at the World Cup final.
Yeah, last minute.
No. Wow.
How's that? It must have been an incredible experience. So let's just start there. Forget about London. We'll get to that next.
Unbelievable. I mean, we left you in Rome. I think we got a call.
Make us jealous. Go on. you don't get to boast often. We want you to boast.
We were docking in Rome and we got a call that we had a last minute cancellation or two.
Yeah.
So we actually had two extra tickets for the final. So myself and Graham, the CEO of AHA, we said, yeah, we're in. We'll change our flights.
Oh, how big of you?
And
isn't that nice?
Such a philanthropist.
Such a sacrifice. We dropped Gareth and the rest of the group in Rome, and we flew off to Paris and ended up staying a while and enjoying the World Cup final.
But that stadium must have been electric.
It was unbelievable. And, you know, that electric feeling actually started probably at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So we made sure we got to the stadium early so we could take it all in. And it just built up and built up and built up. I think it got to the point where even when the final whistle went and people were like in shock, did we just win?
Yeah.
It took 3 or 4 seconds for people to realize we actually just won the World Cup. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Man. And I mean, you couldn't have wished for like a better culmination of circumstances for South Africa to actually win. Because I don't know, what time did you actually get out of the stadium? Because I'm sure you stuck around at the trophy and everything else.
We did. We probably got out.
Were you exhausted by the end of it?
Exhausted. I got out at about 1 o'clock and I got a text message. We're going out. We're going out to party. And I'm like, my flight's in 4 hours. Sorry, I'm not coming.
And Achi doesn't drink. So luckily he can always get away with that.
Yeah.
Whereas the rest of us are like, I have another one.
I'll take my hand, brother. Feel the love. We're like, we're done
Sam
for the day.
Sam doesn't drink either anymore. You know, it's so funny. We were talking while I was with these guys because you remember Seekers used to be very involved with what you guys did on your show. Mm. Sarah. Remember Sarah from
That's
Seekers?
That's right. Yeah.
So Monet, who was at Seekers, he's the CEO of TTS.
Oh, wow.
And so we spoke to, in fact, I think Jeremy came up a couple of times during those conversations. So Achi, what was this travel show in London?
So once I got back from the World Cup, I think about 2 or 3 days at home and then flew off to London.
Yeah.
It's the World Travel Market.
So what is the World Travel Market?
So it's a show for the travel industry. They have them in London, which is the biggest one. They have a South America one, a Middle Eastern one, and one in Cape Town.
And we're talking 5,000 exhibitors here. I mean, that's...
Yeah. It's like literally heaven under one roof.
You're a big travel lover, so I mean, who isn't? Yeah. Like, I have yet to meet someone in the world who goes, ah, you know, I'm not that. Travel's not.
It's not as nice as the Margate timeshare that we have.
No, much, much better.
So, did you guys also have?
We didn't. We actually attend the London one is the largest one in the world. I mean, it's the global one where people come from all over the world. 5,000 exhibitors, but there's probably about 70,000 people that come. And these are it's not the general public. So
no, this is business to business stuff.
Yeah, this is travel professional. It's the trade, it's buyers, you know, and that kind of stuff. So we attend so that we can meet our suppliers, our international suppliers, and renegotiate where we need to.
Mm-hmm.
But also see what's new, what's hip, what's happening. And, you know, there's some really influential people that also come and give talks and stuff like that. So you get the CEOs of Expedias and Booking.com. That's pretty cool.
Which all integrate into your travel IT.
You want to see what's new, you know, in the world.
Fantastic.
I can tell you right now, the world is massive on sustainable travel. It's a big, big thing right now.
And that means what the carbon taxes on carbon tax. Flying and not messing up environmental situations. Because I know, for example, you guys have these incredible tented camps in Zim, which
That's
I
right,
stayed
yeah.
at, where
nice.
Where they don't do any permanent structures.
Wow.
So they build these incredible... Yeah, it's and that's just one example. Yeah. I'm sure you have plenty more where that comes from.
Yeah, and both. I mean, we know about the corporates. Corporates want to have this report on what is their carbon footprint so they can offset that. But it's becoming more and more with the leisure people as well overseas. You know, people are trying to be responsible when they're asking for flights. They want to say, well, cool. You know, what's my carbon footprint on that flight? So soon you'll start seeing that when you search for flights, it's actually going to tell you, well, this is the fare and this is your carbon footprint. You can actually choose a flight that does less.
Wow.
So that's one of the new trends in travel. What else did you pick up on that's
So
new?
The other stuff's obviously the destination side of things. I mean, look, this time of year is the absolute wrong time of year to be promoting South Africa. It's a bit late. Our season is now in December. So South Africa won't have a big stand or, you know, something that's out there. From a contracting perspective, it's just the wrong time of the year. But for the rest of the world, I mean, it's massive. And for me, you just look at, you know, the destinations and what they're promoting out there. It's unbelievable. Obviously, the countries with the most amount of money will make the biggest splash and the biggest noise. And it's people like Dubai.
Yes.
Obviously, they're there every year. Qatar, obviously, lots of money. And Saudi. I mean, Saudi's...
That's an interesting one because Saudi's opening up.
I believe so.
Yeah.
I mean, they,
people are very into Saudi Arabia at the moment because they're doing, they've got that enormous project that they're doing in the desert near Jeddah. Yeah.
$1 trillion.
A trillion. Such a big number.
Can't even think about it. Can't conceptualize $1 trillion.
Like, the rebranding of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia is beautiful. Like Jeddah, all these places.
And this is Mohammed bin Salman.
This is MBS.
The destinations you should check out, I mean, on YouTube and stuff, is they're spending, I think, half of that, $500 million, going on Trojena and Neom. Can you believe skiing in
the desert?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's the mountainous region. The temperatures get below zero and they get snow every year. So they're creating a whole ski resort over there. And these guys don't do anything in half measures.
No.
So that was interesting. I mean, these guys spend millions of pounds on a stand that's, you know, probably 200 square meters full of audiovisual and stuff. It's really impressive. Wow. But the one that stood out for us was Alula.
Where is that?
It sounds so exotic.
It does sound good.
Alula.
Where is Alula?
And we met with the head of the project, and they were saying currently they only have 650 rooms in Alula.
What?
What is it?
The cheapest price. It's a region, Alula. I mean, if you want to see one of the places, they've got a banyan tree or Habitas Alula. I mean, these are phenomenal.
Oh, this is
resorts.
In Saudi Arabia.
It's in Saudi Arabia. It's in the desert, in the... Like, no way.
Mm-hmm. By plane, ladies and gentlemen, 13 hours and 20 minutes from here.
Yeah.
That's what they say.
There's your carbon footprint.
Your cheapest room night is 25,000 rand.
For a night?
For one night.
Sure.
Okay.
It would have to come with a lot of stuff.
Wow.
And this is the funniest thing. So we meet the head there, and she's like, oh, you're from South Africa. I'm like, I don't think you guys can afford Alula.
Wow.
Straight up, huh? That's what she says.
Dude, I've seen people spend R1 million on a Rugby World Cup final. I think they can do it.
Well, this is interesting. They've got an Ancient Kingdoms Festival from the 16th of November until the 2nd of December.
What, this year?
In Alula. And they've got this thing where they light up, they put candles all over the desert.
Yeah.
I'd do that.
But like all over the desert. It looks like the whole thing's lit up by candle. It's fantastic. What an interesting place.
So they've got a challenge out there to find a better sunset than you can get in Alula. And, you know, we know about African sunsets.
I thought we'd be
I said, no, I'm going to take them up on this. So hopefully next year we're going to make a little bit of a trip down there just to...
I'm totally in.
Sam's moving to the Cape, so she's going to have some good access to sunsets down there as well.
Yeah. Oh, I'm a sunset queen. Like, my entire Instagram is sunset. So what other Alula sunset?
What other events are there like this? There can't be many in the world. You say this is the biggest one.
The biggest one's London. They do. It's the same company, the World Travel Market. They do a Cape Town one as well, which is focusing on Africa. But obviously, we do our Indaba as well, which is in May. But for us, from a contracting perspective, ITB in Berlin, that's probably the next biggest one.
Wow. Okay, where do you want to go next, Sam?
Sure.
What's like on your list, in your bucket list of places you want to go?
Well, I've actually got two. The first one's back to Turkey. So I swam Bosphorus, as you know, which was Asia to Europe, and I want to do the Dardanelles. Which,
by the way, do you know that the Bosphorus?
Yeah.
Pyramus and Thisbe. Do you know the story?
Yes.
You do?
I do.
Okay,
so I'm crazy about that, yeah.
Okay, so that's the ancient Greek myth that he was in love with her. This is before Romeo and Juliet, by the way. And she was on one side of the Bosphorus, he was on the other. And she would light a candle in her window, and then he would swim, and the candle would be his guide. And then the one night she got distracted or taken away by her father, and he smashed against the rocks and died. And then she threw herself out of the window.
As you do.
It was the original Romeo and Juliet story, long before Shakespeare wrote that down.
Watch out for the rocks.
Yeah, so you didn't smash against the rocks. No, you didn't need candles to guide you. You didn't do it at night.
But Hellespont and the Dardanelles is considered the oldest swim in the world. And I want to do that. And the other one is, strangely enough, there are many, many Great Lakes in the Rockies. And so you go through about five of them. So it's a swimming holiday. I go via swim trip.
Must be so much fun for the rest of your family.
No, because you know what they do? They hire a car and then go and do the things that they like to do.
Just ignore you.
Exactly.
You're the child.
It works for me.
Where's that woman? She's swimming again. That does sound cool, though. Yeah. I mean, the Dardanelles would be cool. You think you're swimming over water that would have been used as the first crossing for the Persians when they went to fight the Greeks.
And that's it.
That's
the thing about Turkey.
Salamis and
Turkey is still so brutal and so real. Wow. And when you're in the Bosphorus and I breathe bilaterally, so it's stroke.
What
Europe,
does that mean? You breathe
stroke,
bilaterally.
Stroke,
she's just
Asia.
Just
no.
So it's three strokes. So you breathe to each side. So lots of people just breathe to one side.
Oh.
And I breathe both sides. So if you breathe bilaterally,
I thought you had gills for a second.
Now that'd be great, though. So. When you're swimming and you've got Asia on one side and Europe on the other, and if you look at the European side of Turkey, it's all these huge fortresses, you know, and big flags flying and quite frightening and very Game of Thrones. And then on the other side, you've got this beautiful Asian architecture. Okay. So you've got castles on one side and palaces on the other.
Wow.
And you feel like you literally are swimming through history. It is a very literal feeling.
It's quite a busy maritime
They close it for 2 hours.
Oh, so they let you swim without the boats smashing into you. I was going to say, when I've been there, it's been busy.
They close it for 2 hours, and then when that water cannon goes off, and they start coming through again. Yeah.
Wow.
Amazing. Wow. Yeah.
Would you consider doing the Portugal to Morocco?
Oh, I'd love to. Oh, yes. What, the Gibraltar?
Yeah.
That's my bucket list. That's a 2-year plan. I can't get a booking. I can't get a booking on the. It's a nightmare to get a booking. You're looking at 2 years in advance.
Which way do you go? Because Gibraltar's quite high up and there's not really much purchase on that coastline.
Okay. So you go to Africa.
Right.
And it's very funny. A friend of mine did it and realized at the very last minute that he didn't have a visa. He was fine. He was on a British passport, and it was still EU, right? So he realized he couldn't actually land in Morocco. So they had to get this emergency visa before he actually got in the water.
But you knew that was one of the destinations, right?
Yeah, Morocco. Yeah. Morocco's
that is a dream swim.
We actually seen some of that footage when Morocco had a stand there. I mean, they were one of the big exhibitors as well.
Mm.
And it's one of the things they tell people they can do.
Wow.
Okay, well, if you saw the number of the person and find a booking place that I can actually get a spot.
Listen, you met the guy. He can make miracles happen.
There we go.
You should see Achi. He's like, he knows his way around. He disappeared in Santorini. And didn't you end up finding stuff that the rest of us didn't? I just recall you having stories about, and we were like, were we even on the same island? And it's not a big space.
Well, we rented the little buggy.
Yeah, there we go.
And we drove around the island, and we actually got to the first lighthouse ever built on Santorini. And there was nobody there.
It's magic.
Nobody there. Oh, we got to the Black Beach.
Yeah.
Nobody there. Only you think that, you know,
we started off with him. He was with us, and then he just disappeared.
And then he left you.
Yeah.
Well, you know what that's like. You leave people when you're bored. So what does that say about you?
Yeah, but you want to stick around with this guy because he knows what the hell he's doing. And he's a very experienced traveler. He knows all the tips and tricks. When it comes to flying, driving, on a boat, on a train, this is the man. So, Achi, thank you. I'm very, very excited to hear more about this world travel market in London. And I'm sure that it's been a huge success and that you guys have discovered lots of interesting things that you'll be deploying to the rest of us over the course of the next few months. But it is peak season for us coming up. So whoever is coming to South Africa, this is a good time to get around. And you can find out more by going to travel.co.za.
Cool. Cool. Thanks, guys.
Very nice Thank to you. See you. Cheers. Awesome stuff. Achie Adams and Tourvest Travel Services. He's their marketing guru. He's the general manager for marketing there. CliffCentral.com.